Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, July 17, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. We had a nice little hiatus. I didn't even go back home down the shore for the All-Star break like I initially planned, but we did put our feet up for a little bit, chat, and enjoy the All-Star break. But that is now in the past. It is time to gear up and get ready for the second half of the season. Yankees Dodgers tonight in the Bronx. Sunday's pitching matchup is going to be pretty freaking nuts. Cam versus Yamamoto in game 3. Game 2 is Ryan Weathers versus, who is it, Emmett Sheehan, I believe. And then tonight, game 1, you got Cole versus Roki Sasaki. Anyways, things will get going with the second half, of course, with that. And then you got the Pirates, 3-game set afterwards. So it's a 6-game homestand. And then we'll be on the road, actually going to be playing the Philadelphia Phillies soon. But nonetheless, it is good to see you guys again. Obviously, I got my hair cut. The guy did all right. I kind of looked 12, but any haircut I get, it always looks like that, so it's not his fault. Very nice place, though. It's called a gentleman's barber lounge. And they took me in the back room and showed me all around, and it was a pleasurable experience. But yes, my hair is cut. The Yankees are back, and I'm ready and geared up to go for this second half. We'll talk a little trade deadline today as well. And obviously, let's start off actually with Judge, because a lot of people are freaking out about this. Listen, we're just still waiting on the update. And if it weren't for, like, Twitter, I wouldn't be even thinking about, oh, what could this mean? The fact that the Yankees haven't given us any word on what the deal is with Aaron Judge. And obviously that's being with that Cashman said that he'd be undergoing reimaging during the All-Star break. I assume he still has. For all we know, for some reason he did not. But as we currently sit here Friday morning, we haven't heard nothing. And a lot of people are taking that as like, you know what this means? The Yankees report is worse than they feared. And they're just seeing how they're going to relay that information to us. That very much feels like major paranoia. And again, like if it weren't for the internet, weren't for Yankees Twitter, like I wouldn't even be thinking along those lines in the slightest. We're just going to continue to wait for what the deal is going to be. But obviously, yeah, as of right now, we haven't heard nothing. And we just got to find out. You figure that's going to be pretty soon, hopefully today. Because once he gets the imaging done, if it shows he's good to go to do upper body workouts, then we start to get closer and closer to what hopefully will be a mid to late August return. My line of demarcation has always been Labor Day, because if he gets back by Labor Day, September, 10th or 12th or whatever, around that time, then he has enough time to shake off the IL rust by the time the postseason hits. That's always my main concern with Judge coming back. It's like, as long as he can get some at-bats before the postseason, we're chilling. Some may be saying he's not coming back. From everything we're hearing, he is coming back. It's just a matter of when, not if. Stanton, you're well within your rights to wonder, like, yo, are we going to see him at all again this year? I do think a lot of people are setting themselves up to have to give a big apology to Stan at some point this year, like a lot of people do every single year. But even myself, I get a little frustrated too, because towards especially the conclusion of the first half, and this will continue into the second half, hopefully vibes are a little bit better. And we finished on a nice strong note. That was very important, splitting against the Rays, and you take the sweep against the Nationals. But, it was kind of just like, Stan, we could really use you right now, yo. And obviously, you have the calf strain in April, and then all of a sudden it goes from we're going to try to avoid placing him on the IL to he does go on the IL, then has another injury to his calf. And with that, we haven't seen him since the end of April. Let me put my phone on DND. If you're thinking we may not see Stanton again this year, I always think, that's kind of reasonable. But the people that are saying Stanton retire, we don't need you, bro. Like, remember how good Giancarlo Stanton was last year. He put up the best year of his career, rate stat-wise, since the 2017 MVP season. Remember, OPS was like in the 900s. So make no mistake, we could really use Giancarlo Stanton back. We'll see whenever the hell that's going to be. And as for Judge, we'll see too. Like, we just don't know. But it is expected he will return this season. It's just going to be a little bit. Ideally, we can get an update on that soon, though. Maybe it'll be today. But yo, Yankees, Dodgers, talk about a way to kick off the second half. Cole tonight. Cole's got to pitch well. And I don't say that actually with a tone that came off a little bit of attitude. Cole was good against the Rays last time out, which we needed him to be, where we lost that game, but he pitched pretty damn well. I think he ended up giving up 3 runs, but overall, like, he looked solid, gave the Yanks a chance to win. That was an offensive problem for why we lost that game. That's now in the past, but we're facing Roki Sasaki tonight, and Sasaki has been bad. I mean, most of you guys know the deal. Outside of a slight stretch in the postseason last year, really not even the entire postseason, but for a little bit he was pitching well for the Dodgers in October. But outside of that, I mean, he's very much been a work in progress for them since coming over. This year, 3-5, 5.33 ERA. He'll go for LA in game 1. We're throwing out Gerrit Cole, and this does feel like a very important series for the obvious and just that, yo, it's Yankees, Dodgers. There will be a lot of storylines, myself included, to take away from this. So, like, I'll be one of the ones that will be saying World Series preview. It's tough to really go along the lines of, like, World Series preview because of the fact the team's going to look so different by the time we potentially do face them again in the World Series. Judge being back, hopefully Stanton as well, post-trade deadline, freed, all that. But with that said, what is quite interesting is this thinking about what we talk about a lot, our postseason rotation and how good it should be. And we mentioned, of course, Cam and Cole. Ryan Weathers is going to be in the bullpen. He'll pitch a game too, but come October in the rotation, knock on wood, everybody's healthy, Ryan Weathers will be in the bullpen. But in terms of Cole tonight, Cam in game three, well, those are two starters that are going to be pitching against a theoretical Dodgers team in the World Series if we get there. Not to get too ahead of myself, but whatever. I'm kind of like thinking, Cole, I want to see you like lay down the law a little bit tonight and shove. Cam in game three versus Yamamoto, that's its own story in itself. That's going to be box office. All three of these are night games, by the way. You got 7 o'clock Friday night tonight on YES. Saturday's game is 8 o'clock on Fox. And then Sunday is ESPN, or not ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, which is now on NBC and Peacock. That's at 7 o'clock. So these are all primetime, nighttime games, Yankees, Dodgers, and I mean, there's a couple keys here regarding the second half and just in general to get things going. And we saw some of these start to play out towards a conclusion of the first half, which is guys that need to get going. Being for a while, it was Ben Rice was in there. He's completely figured it out, at least going into the All-Star break. He was raking the last 2 weeks entering that. Bellinger did start to get some hits a little bit. He had an okay series against the Nationals. One guy in particular outside the obvious, which is Bellinger. But another guy is, I want to see Jason Dominguez really get going, yo, in this second half. I don't know what his future holds, and maybe he can even be a possible trade deadline, you know, fish to dangle, I don't know. But in regards to him, no matter what, well, barring a trade, but Judge is going to be out at least until, at least another month, let's just say. That seems pretty reasonable to assume. Jason, for his career, but also just for us, like, we need him to make an impact. And he was starting to play a little bit better, not defensively, that's a lost cause, we know that, but offensively, he was putting together some good at-bats. We saw Homer in the National Series, and he was making some things happen on the base paths, too. Nonetheless, we could use Jason Dominguez really starting to ball out a little bit. That would be very much, what's the word I'm looking for? Very much appreciated. Rice, not worried about him at all. Bellinger, we did the tier list over the week, over the All-Star break, and I had Bellinger in C tier. And some people agree that some didn't, but like big reason why is because while Judge is out, he hasn't really stepped up with all due respect. All-Star break, had a big All-Star game MVP. That was cool. The first inning of the All-Star game was sick. You had the Bellinger two-run single followed by the Ben Rice RBI single. That was awesome. Anyways, don't really care too much about that, although that was cool. We need Bellinger to be better, and I anticipate that he will be better. We need Jason Dominguez to step up a little bit. Jazz Chisholm Jr., we'll see what his future holds. He's got to be better. And now I feel like I'm doing a lot of negative vibes here, but more so in a hype-up way for the second half. I think it's so good to go into this little reset of a week where you go into, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, like into that race series, very nervous that, holy crap, we better throw away the division in July. God forbid the Yankees get swept in Tampa Bay. Well, they don't. They ended up splitting that series. One of those wins being one of the best of the season where they won 12-4. And then you sweep the Nationals thanks to their god-awful bullpen. All of a sudden, you went to the All-Star break with a little bit of momentum, and guys were starting to figure it out a little bit. Like, again, Ben Rice, I think that's cured. He's good to go. Bellinger, hopefully, continues to trend back up. He finished the first half pretty solid. All-Star game MVP, whatever. All the things we just mentioned. We did finish the first half on a high note. Now it's about continuing that into the second half, and very quickly, you could be like, all the momentum that we have, all the good vibes that we have, ready to see baseball again, which I certainly am. I'm geared up for tonight. We'll be live for game one. The Yankees were to get their teeth rocked by the Dodgers, all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go again. Not in terms of season's over crap, but that sector of the fan base, or just me leaning optimistic, whatever it may be, being excited for, anyway, if you're excited for baseball being back and the Yankees get their teeth kicked in by the Dodgers, it's like, oh, shit. You know, like, here we go. Ideally, the opposite of that happens. Cole shoves tonight in game one. We'll see what happens against, you know, Ryan Weathers in game two, but just for tonight's sake, Roki Sasaki has not been good. The Yankees should be able to hit him. And Gerrit Cole, for the most part, I've really liked what I've seen out of him, especially in that start against Tampa Bay. And that's now a couple starts together where he's strung some good outings in a row against the Twins, the Rays, We've seen Cole be pretty damn good this season for the most part. His ERA right now sits around a 4. But he'll be pitching in October against the Dodgers. I want to see him shove tonight for that reason as well. Cam versus Yamamoto in Game 3. I mean, that speaks for itself. That is going to be absolutely box office. But, yeah, like you could say it's a test. That feels a little bit odd, but I get what people are saying because it's like, you know, it's a test for this Yankees team. And given the fact that we're not facing Shohei on the mound, although the Yankees have actually always done pretty decent against Shohei on the mound, he'll be DHing, of course. They should be able to hit Sasaki. They should be able to hit Emmett Sheehan. And obviously, we're without Judge. We're without Freed. I'm sure they're without a couple guys as well. Like, I don't know if Glasnow is healthy right now. Either way, we're not facing him. We're not facing Snell. We'll see Snell and Glasnow, you figure, in the postseason. The same way they'll see Max Fried and Carlos Rodon in the postseason. But true test, sure, whatever. But more so, it's just a game you want to win. It's a series you want to win. You want to get off the second half in good fashion. Trade deadline coming up soon, which I guess we can move on to that. I really don't think there's any world where the Mets are going to be trading Francisco Lindor to the Yankees. Now, obviously, there was a report that came out during the game last night from Buster Olney that there's pretty much, a statement from the Mets front office out there to other teams saying everybody except, like, Carson, their young kids and Soto, essentially, plus Noah McClain, are available. And one of the players that was not included in their untouchable list was Francisco Lindor. A lot of Yankee fans are saying, go out and get Lindor, which wore it up. I mean, that would be incredible, but that's just probably not going to happen. I mean, I just could not see. Listen, it drives me crazy a few years ago when, like, we were in place to have a deal for when the Wilpons were still owning, like, Jay Bruce for Domingo Herman was a deal that was, like, done. But because we're the Yankees and the Wilpons didn't want to send him to us and that whole vibe, the deal didn't happen. That sort of thing drives me crazy. And if the Yankees wanted, like, Luke Weaver, which I don't see that happening, because it's kind of like, yo, we could have signed him in free agency, and now we're going to give up assets to just take on that contract we could have signed him to. I don't see that happening anyways. But like, if it's a deal like that, and Steve Cohen or anybody on the Mets side was like, no, we're not trading for you because of the Yankees, like, that would be whack. That would be absurd. That would be, like, embarrassing and pathetic. But when it comes to Francisco Lindor, like, I could not even blame the Mets for not wanting to even entertain the idea of doing that with the Yankees. To another team, all right, maybe, sure. And if they badly do want to get rid of him, to a degree that involves, all right, maybe we just see if the Yankees would be interested in taking him, which it wouldn't be. It'd still be like a trade. It'd be like you take on a lot of money or they eat some money, but no matter what, like, this would be a massive deal in some regard. A lot of ins and outs. But I would not blame them if they were like, we're not trading him to the Yankees. And I anticipate that, at the very least, is on our end of things how it's going to shake out. So I just do not see Lindor being traded to us. In terms of a shortstop, I think our shortstop come October is on the team. Same with, like, C.J. Abrams. I don't really see things going out and getting Abrams because, one, the Nationals likely aren't trading him, so you'd really have to pry him away from Washington. Also, Abrams isn't a good defender. I don't see the Yankees bringing in a poor defender to come in and play shortstop, especially given the amount of assets they would have to send back to Washington. I think what we're looking at this trade deadline, and it could be a very exciting trade deadline. It's a huge deadline for Cashman. Huge, 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 huge. For obvious reasons, in that year-over-year, failure, don't win the World Series, a lot of pressure on them to win this year. Possibly, and one would say maybe likely, no baseball next year. By that point, you don't ball like next year. You don't win this year, God forbid. By the next time you see Aaron Judge, he'll be 37 years old. Gerrit Cole, at that point, his contract might be expired, honestly. Max Fried, a couple years older. Everything that we always talk about between the urgency of guys getting older, no baseball next year, the fact of the American League is very wide open, this postseason rotation that we have of Cole, Fried, or what do you want to say, Cam, Fried, Cole, Rodon, that's the best four-man staff come October you've had in the Aaron Judge era, knock on wood, health. All these things makes this deadline pivotal for them to go out and capitalize, sure up all the loose ends. I think it's going to be, you go out and get a catcher, which I still believe it's going to be Ryan Jeffers. I know the Twins are in the mix, but I do believe it's going to be Ryan Jeffers that they go out and get. I was talking to Plouffe the other day, and he was even saying that he thinks that the Yankees are going to end up getting Jeffers from the Twins. And what I see probably being the case is, like, they won't trade guys like Joe Ryan. They won't trade, like, cornerstone pieces. But Ryan Jeffers, unless they plan on signing him long term, it wouldn't make sense for them to trade away rentals. And the Yankees are apparently making it no secret per Bob Nightingale that they want Jeffers. I think that's going to happen. But bottom line is they're going to get a catcher. They're going to get at least a reliever. Probably at least one. I would ideally like two. And then we get into the possibility of would they be able to get, like, a Luis Arraez. And that becomes very interesting because what do you then do with Jazz? Because Jazz, I don't know if there's a deal to, you know, you say you bring in Arise and then Jazz goes elsewhere. What are you exactly, like, getting back for rental? Like, who's even in the market for Jazz? Like, half of your Jazz, maybe the Padres would be. In all likelihood, if you were to bring in Arise, then that means Jazz is on the bench. How's that going to go? One would say play him at third. I'm chilling with McMahon at third, to be honest. I want Arise really bad. I really, really do. And runners in scoring position is a big thing where Jazz is just not good in that regard. Luis Arise is. We know the defense has improved significantly for Arise in big parts, basically just because of the fact he's working with Ron Washington. So there's a reason to believe that the defensive improvement is real. And people always say crap like, and I get it. Like, I used to talk this way too when I was like getting into analytics for the first time. But it's like, Luis Arise is bad, doesn't profile well in Yankee Stadium. That would be an absolutely abysmal trade. People talk as if you're acquiring like nine Luis Arise and your lineup would be 1 through 9 of Luis Arises. Like, and talking about the Yankee Stadium profile that doesn't play that well for him because right field is short, and because of that, guys would be playing in. So a lot of the blue pits Arises gets would be no longer falling for hits. Well, if you watch Arise, you see he goes the opposite way quite a lot. You see he's able to come through with runners in scoring position quite often. And you may say, well, not in Yankee Stadium. First of all, half your games don't come in Yankee Stadium. But also, too, how's it working out right now with Jazz? And I'm not trying to get on Jazz here, but it's like, if we're talking, comparing what Arise's profile would be in Yankee Stadium compared to 2025 Jazz Chisholm Jr., all right, sure enough, fair. But from what I'm seeing here is there is a lane to possibly be upgraded. It's nothing against Jazz per se, but he's been disappointing this year. Maybe he'll turn it around, but a big thing is I would trust Luis Arise and his ability to, well, maybe not go 3-for-4 every time in the postseason, every game, but 1-for-4 with a big kick and with runners in scoring position to be able to get a job done, especially knowing you're not losing anything defensively. He's been a great defender at second base this year. It's about complementing the lineup and making things happen in October. Plus, just knowing that, not that it's a grand issue with Jazz per se, because I think he can win the World Series still with Jazz, and he can turn it up. Like, word, maybe he'll do something. And there's times where Jazz is dynamic. There's such a clear upgrade out there in Arise, knowing that the Giants are going to trade, they're going to sell, and somebody's going to get him. I want Arise very bad, but catcher, bullpen, and then some sort of deal like that. I would put Arise in that category. We'll have a video coming out, a full trade deadline preview later today of what my plans are for the deadline here. But like, bullpen and catcher, those two boxes I think will automatically be checked. Like, that's a prerequisite going into this deadline. And then there's the extra category, which you could put Arise in that. You could put Scooble in that. Some are saying that, I don't think the A's are going to get Scooble, but also, too, it's not totally out of the question just because the Tigers are in the mix that they're going to hold on to Scooble. Some reports are saying that they are. Some are saying that it still is possible. Remember, it was talked about as possible even when the Tigers were expected to run away with the AL Central, so that could still be on the table. I don't think the A's are going to get Scooble. Mason Miller intrigues me a lot, and that would be something where the deal would be insane. I mean, the Yankees wouldn't want to give up Lombard, but they would probably have to if even want to like get the phone call to go through. You're talking LeGrande, Jason, Warren, maybe Elmer on top of that, honestly. Like, the deal would be massive going back to San Diego. I don't know if that's very much a possibility. At the very least, I expect the Yankees to make the phone call. But there's, like, the floor of this deadline, which is the catcher, bullpen, like, those two boxes being checked. And then it's on top of that, what can you do to really secure your chances to be a legitimate threat? More than just having a chance, but be like, yo, we're a fucking unit. Come October, that's where you get into like the Mason Miller, if Scooble were to be available, something along those lines. I won't put Arise in that category. I just want Arise really bad. I do. But yeah, dude, the trade deadline is so close. August 3rd at 6 p.m. We're just a little over 2 weeks away from that happening. And that's what's so exciting, too, about the second half. We kept talking about it. It's like once you get through the All-Star break, all of a sudden, July 17th, which it is now here today, and like, we're there, yo. We are there. We got Yankees Dodgers tonight. 6-game homestand. The Phillies coming up too. We'll be at Citizens Bank Park next week. And yeah, before you know it, dude, I mean, forget even the August 3rd trade deadline. I mean, before you know it, it's gonna be by the next time we're on the show on Monday, it's gonna be July 20th. And like that's where you get into the range of, yo, deals are gonna start to happen. And even watching the Mets Phillies game last night, which was the only game on the slate, but you listen to Buster only talking about that report, how everybody's available. And what he said is something we already know, but it's cool to hear it, where it's like the draft is now done. And because of that, teams are now getting back into business on the trade front of things. Like, teams are talking again. And it's just like, Point is, we're there, and it's going to be an exciting couple weeks. Obviously, we got to see like what teams are going to be not actually contending and are truly going to be declaring themselves sellers. The A's might be one of them. Shea Langeliers does interest me a little bit. And for only this reason, for the fact of, like, we always talk about a lot, and we'll talk about this in the trade deadline preview coming out today, but, like, Hunter Goodman is not realistic because he's under control for a few more years, and in all likelihood, the Rockies aren't looking to move, like, a cornerstone piece. They may look to extend him. The same way the A's would look at Shea Langeliers. However, Shea Langeliers is a Boris client. He's probably not signing an extension. He's already making $5 million, so over the next few years, his arbitration's only going to go up and up and up, obviously. He might be somebody that, knowing that the they's knowing that they probably won't be able to extend him, they may be able to try to capitalize on that value while it's high. Shea Langeliers, I wouldn't say to get your hopes up, but I'll tell you, more of a possibility of Langeliers over Goodman, 100%. I think it's Jeffers is like the actual realistic candidate here. And then Goodman is just like, I think a pipe dream. Honestly, I just do. I don't think Shea Langeliers is like, I could forgive one for thinking that like maybe the Yankees can make that deal happen. It would cost an arm and a leg. But in terms of just the A side of things, them being willing to possibly deal him, I would not rule that out. And if you can get Langeliers, I mean, that would be, oh my goodness, that would be badass. Yes, indeed. I'm pumped, dude. I'm pumped. Now, tonight we're going to be live. What we're going to start doing now is the new schedule for Yanks Ave is watch parties are going to be just once per series at the very least. We might do more if I want to do like hopping on to, you know, do three games, I will, but at the very least, we'll always be live for the series opener. We'll have the new slash old, but we brought them back, Yankees recaps videos after every single series, and then the morning show, we're live Monday through Friday, so it's going to be one watch party to open the series at the very least. Like this weekend, for example, we're going to be live tonight for game one. Cam versus Yamamoto is going to be badass. If I'm back home in time, like, I'll be watching the game no matter what. As a matter of fact, I'm here down at the shore, but might be like, yo, I want to go live for that game too. At the very least, though, we're always going to be live for the first game of this series. And then Yankee recap after each series, and then morning show Monday through Friday. That's the new schedule for Yanks Ave, and you know, subject to change or whatever. But let's see, is there anything else I wanted to discuss on here? Yeah, again, guys who need to step up in the second half, Bellinger being one of the obvious ones, Jazz, Jason Dominguez as well. Will Warren, we'd like to see him, you know, really hone it in, although we talk about it, like he is a fifth starter. You got to keep in mind, like a successful fifth starter just, for the most part, pitches every 5 days, and Warren has done that. And he's had a couple better outings as of late as well. Rodon shouldn't be all that far off. It probably will be like maybe around the same time as Free, which at this point is like 2 to 3 weeks away. Rodon, I think, actually might be sooner. Freed might be like second week of August at this rate. I don't know how many rehab starts he'll need, but he'll probably need at least like 3 or 4, maybe 4 at the very least. So we might be looking at second week of August for Freed. Rodon has already started throwing. He's playing catch over the break. He may need just like 1 or 2 rehab starts. We might see Rodon like by the time, like first week in August, possibly. But like those guys coming back soon as well. Again, no update on Judge. We're still waiting out on that. Just wait. Like we don't got to be all doom and gloom over it. Doesn't mean there's some news that the Yankees, before all we know, he didn't even get imaged yet for some reason. I don't know why that is, but we just got to wait. Some noise outside. But yo, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Just kind of riffing, talking ball. Yankees Dodgers tonight. I cannot wait. And yeah, yo, we'll be live tonight. Probably around, 6:30, 6:45 for pregame. But yeah, Morning Yankees Show live Monday through Friday. Hope you all have a great Friday. Careful of the smoke outside. It's pretty nuts. I mean, it's a little better today, I think. But yesterday, you step outside, literally, like, my eyes were starting to tear up. It was nuts. Happy birthday to my boy Michael, July 17th. They grow up so fast. I love you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you tonight for Yankees Dodgers. The second half begins, Chet. Big and busy couple weeks ahead. Until tonight, though, I'll see you guys next time, and let's go Yanks.